T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What's going on, everyone? Joe to camera, John Richie, 94 WIP. Great to be with you on this Tuesday morning. Following a bad night for the Phils as they lose, the Cubs win. That's not good. Eagles, of course, gearing up for their game. It's an intriguing matchup on Sunday versus the Atlanta Falcons. Road game against what we think is a pretty good team. Of course, they lost week one, so we'll be all over all this today. Big report came out on the Phils. National report, we'll hit that. And certainly take your phone calls again, as always, at 888-729-9494. Hop aboard those phone lines again, 888-729-9494. Richie Rich!
Joe,
hey, pal.
Two-thirds of the world's eggplant comes from New Jersey.
Wow.
Really?
That's unbelievable. Think about that.
That's hard to believe.
That is hard to believe.
Like, that's the world we're talking
Not
about.
Not even a big state like Cali.
66% of the world's eggplant comes from right here.
That's nuts.
Right across the bridge.
How about that?
The eggplant capital of the world.
How about that?
Pretty good stuff. All right, 888-729-9494. John, bad job by the Phils last night. And, you know, that one hurts. 19 to go, 3 games out, bunch of teams now in front of the Phillies. It's not looking good. Nola obviously struggling, you know, when not pitching with the extra day's rest. So
exactly.
Bad
job all around. Yeah. Bad job. And I guess we sort of, there were some who anticipated this sort of trailing off by Aaron Nola, because the stats did give you a hint that this was the way things would go.
Yeah.
But yeah, failure, an institutional failure across
well,
the board.
Well, I agree with you. And I'll say this to me, and I can't imagine there's much disagreement here. This is how it has felt for about 2 months. It would end. The Phillies close enough to give you a feeling of maybe, but just not really good enough. So, look, very aggravating, very disappointing. We'll talk about it, obviously, if you're down at the game last night, and the crowds are starting to get diminished now. But if you're still following the Phils, we'd love to hear from you, 888-729-9494. Now, John, Eagles-related. You know, just thinking about it last night, long after our show, because I was pretty fired up during the show yesterday. A lot of people, obviously, passionate, including you, about the Eagles' defense. Despite a win, it was one of those kind of rare Mondays in football. This happens in other sports, but it's rare that it happens in football where the Eagles will win a game and the reaction is somewhat negative. And it was negative in part yesterday, in large part yesterday, because of the defense and concern a lot of us had. And thinking about it the longer the day went on yesterday, you know, it dawned on me, John, that the reaction that many of us had, including myself, I believe including yourself, and many callers we had on our show and across all the shows on WIP yesterday, to me, I think it was actually, the more I think about it, was really a massive overreaction to the Eagles' defensive struggles. I mean, it was one of those things where, you know, we spent the bulk of our show yesterday talking about the Eagles' defensive woes, and the more I thought about it, I was like, well, hold on a second here. The Eagles' defense pretty much improved in the second half just as much as the offense. And the more I thought about it, I thought, well, why am I dwelling on the Eagles' defense being so lackluster-looking when, in fact, they really follow the same pattern as the offense, and they got it together, and they won the game pretty much going away. I know Washington got a late touchdown, but it was a very late touchdown, and the Eagles won that game essentially handily by the end. I mean, John,
essentially handily by the end,
yes,
against the 31st team in the NFL is not going to cut it this week, Joe. What don't you understand? Like, yesterday you had some good sense. You had a good head on your shoulders. And like, what took place? You reverted to Joe DeCamera, who's
I'll give you one
problematic.
I'll give you one thing that took place. Look,
my foe.
My My friend. I don't know. Why do we got to be foes?
Joe, my foe.
Like 888-7, it's not bad. 888-729. Richie, my, I can't, beat that out. Beat that out. All right, 888-729-9494. Look, I'll tell you one thing that happened, John. I pulled up the actual stats from the Eagles game. The big old stats where you actually get more than just the stats, but you get the drive charts and all this.
All right, so final team statistics.
For instance, second half for the Washington Redskins. Four possessions. Possession one, punt. Possession two, punt. Possession three, punt. Possession four, with the Eagles playing soft as cheese to let Washington get some stuff underneath, which did result in Washington scoring a touchdown with 6 seconds to go, which basically made it mathematically impossible for Washington to win the game. Okay, possession four, touchdown. But while the meat and potatoes was going on, punt. Punt, punt. By the way, yards.
Okay, yeah, great. Three yards, drives in a row, yards gained. That were punts.
Yards gained. 6 yards in the first drive by Washington. 0 yards in the second drive by Washington. 24 in the third. Eagles defense got it together.
Yet, Case Keenum still passed for 380 yards, Joe.
Yeah, and that was not good in the first half.
No, it sure wasn't. And it's not just the first half. It's the first half and then the last drive. Listen, I get it. You're trying to figure out whether the defense really is as bad as we made it seem yesterday.
I am trying to figure that out, for sure.
And no, of course, they're not as bad as we said yesterday. You know, like, oh, the world is not falling. But we've got serious issues if we're talking about this team being the best in the NFC. And I think that's what we're talking about here.
We are talking about that,
I believe this team has the talent in most places to be a quality, like, top shelf, top, you know, inner circle at the top of the NFL type team that will compete when it all matters. And right now, the way our defense is set up, now with Malik Jackson, with the mystery of Malik Jackson's injury,
well, he's gonna be out
that
for a
Doug
while.
Says is yeah. significant.
Yeah, sure.
We take another hit there because Malik Jackson was playing defensive end for us in half the defenses. We don't have enough defensive ends, and they're not good enough, the ones that we do have. And the defense, the young cornerbacks, like I can narrow it down for you. I'm not saying like the defense is bad. I'm saying our defensive ends are not good enough, and we just lost one, essentially, with Malik Jackson going down.
Yep.
And our young cornerbacks that are just trying to figure out where they fit into this world and this defense are going to be stressed because of our defensive end situation. That, when you look at the grand scheme of things, means that we are not good enough to compete for the NFC Championship right now.
I would say this,
we're not where I want us to be and where I hoped we'd be.
Well, look, John, you're hitting, again, 888-729-9494. In your opinion, was the reaction yesterday an overreaction by me, by many of us, perhaps by you as a caller?
It's not an overreaction. I am trying to be realistic here.
Yep, I understand.
Like, I'm trying to be real. I'm trying to, like, address the problems that we have before they become glaring problems.
I get it.
And that becomes this week. Like, there's no time to waste and wait around here. We play a quality NFC contending opponent this week.
With a good passing
attack.
And
you're about to see exactly what I'm talking about. Our defense will be skewered if they play the way they did against the Washington Redskins.
And here's the thing, again, 888-729-9494. So two different parts, and they do tie in because, of course, there's a relationship on a play between a defensive line and the cornerback spot. Defensive line, I've always thought, and you know I think this, John, Barnett's better than you think. My eyes on Sunday did not tell me that he played particularly well. I see all the stats on Monday, and they talk about he had all these pressures. Look, I shortchanged yesterday. I mean, I'll be very clear about it. I shortchanged the fact that he did draw two holding penalties. I mean, that's not a small,
you're right.
You know, I mean, that's a thing. That one of them at least could have turned into a sack. So, okay, you get a 10-yard holding penalty. That obviously completely changes the drive.
It absolutely does.
And honestly, Sunday watching the game.
We discounted that.
I did discount that.
Yeah.
Okay, so
I agree with you.
There's
that
factor. Now, let's talk about the corners for a second. Cornerback position. Ronald Darby, I thought, played very well. He didn't play all the snaps. I think once they get beyond, remember, he only played 74% of the snaps. Once they get into this season a little more, he's going to play 100% of the snaps. So the idea of rotating Ronald Darby out and someone else in should fly out the window. So fundamentally, look, I'm not saying I'm a full-fledged believer in Ronald Darby. He's not Deion Sanders. He's not Rod Woodson. But he's supposed to be pretty good. We actually hadn't really seen it in the first 2 years, but we know when healthy, he's supposed to be pretty good. And I thought on Sunday he played very well in the snaps I saw from him. So I feel pretty good there. Then you say, okay, what about the other corner spot, the other outside starting corner spot? It was, and there's no doubt about it, it was shaky on Sunday. And we're obviously talking primarily about Sidney Jones and Rasul Douglas. With that said, it's one game. There's reinforcement. There's other options. At some point, Jalen Mills is going to be here. At some point, LeBlanc's probably going to be here. Like, I don't think if the Eagles are, let's just say, a little bit below average at that one spot on defense, and I wish they weren't. I wish Sidney Jones was better. I wish in year three he was a guy ready to push up and be a Pro Bowler. He's obviously not. But if they are deficient in that spot, it doesn't mean that, like, the whole defense caves in. I mean, the reaction we had yesterday in large part was like, oh, my God, the defense is caving in. Is it? Punt, 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 way late drive for a touchdown. I just think the reaction yesterday was way over the top.
You're talking about four drives. And the reason they only had four drives is because our offense was our best defense in that second half. Our offense ate the entire half by chewing clock.
Yeah. The offense was great.
So if the offense isn't that great, if there's a defense that actually steps up and stymies us, then what?
Our
offense made our defense better, and they still weren't good enough. That should be a problem.
The offense surely helped the defense, but the defense in the second half did its job. John, why is it?
It did its job against a crap team.
I agree. Not a good Redskins team, bad offense. I agree. But let me ask you this. Why is it that yesterday, it was like universal agreement that the offense was rusty in the first half. Universal. You would agree today that it was, right? There's no question it was.
Yeah.
Okay. Why do we not apply a similar sort of rope and standard to the defense?
We do. On the Vernon Davis touchdown, they tackled like they hadn't tackled the whole offseason. Yeah. They were rusty, too.
I think the defense yesterday got really shortchanged. And guys, they were rusty, too.
That does not mean you don't get close to the quarterback the way it felt like they weren't getting close to Case Keenum for most of that game.
They weren't close. In the first half in particular, they weren't close. But the Eagles offense couldn't do anything either.
And this whole, like, all these stats, I don't want to hear pressure stats. I hate the pressure stat. Someone tell me, like, definitively what a pressure is.
Because
you could say every play is a pressure when that defensive end gets into the backfield. They get upfield. Is that a pressure?
We are going to need James to look that up. It's a fair point. Listen, there are some pressures that flat out end a play. You get in there, you're going to make the quarterback throw it away, you're going to hit him.
Right.
Those are legit.
Right.
Then you get your others.
You get run by as you're falling down. That better not be a pressure.
All right,
Derek Barnett.
We'll try to see if James can find the official NFL terminology for what exactly a pressure constitutes. We'll hit that.
You shouldn't have to talk about pressures. It's sacks that matter.
All right, we'll hit your phone calls. Again, reaction on the Phillies. A real interesting report that came out nationally about the Phillies this morning. We'll address that as well in your phone calls. Joe to camera, John Ritchie, 888-729-9494.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.